L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Taiwan, an independent democracy, a capitalist state, much under threat by the People's Republic of China. Here on the eve of the Beijing Olympics, there has been a decision made in Taiwan to accede to the request of the International Olympic Committee to attend the opening of the Games in Beijing. This is the Chinese Taipei Olympic Committee confirmed its participation, is the quote. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, the author of the cover story in Newsweek right now, She's Olympics Games, and we're joined by Steve Yates, of the CEO of DC International, former deputy national security advisor to the vice president. The subtitle of Gordon's piece in Newsweek: if Xi Jinping's zero COVID Olympic coronation fails, his enemies in Beijing are ready. Steve, a good evening to you. Taiwan is going along with the IOC request. What does Taiwan get from this concession? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. It is very difficult for me to find anything that Taipei gains from this. Taiwan itself, of course, benefits very little from participation in the Olympics other than to celebrate the accomplishment of its athletes, perhaps. But it's already conceded its identity by being labeled as Chinese Taipei. And it didn't really have the option of participating in a diplomatic boycott of the games because, of course, its elected leadership was never invited to participate in these kinds of events anyway. So there had been a move for Chinese Taipei's Olympic delegation not to participate in the opening ceremonies. The fact that they gave in and are participating, frankly, it's very hard for me to see what they gain unless there's something behind the scenes that will help them in terms of their security or smooth participation otherwise in events. But I see this as a political concession with no gain.
Gordon, a detail here. The drumbeat of threats against Taiwan, has there been any change in the pattern as we approach these Olympics? Has Beijing dropped the propaganda for a moment to pretend that they're blue skies?
There's actually a one-word answer to that question, which is no. Beijing has actually upped the pressure with these incursions into Taiwan's air defense identification zone of the last 7 or 8 days. So although Beijing talks about an Olympic truce, quote unquote, that does not seem to apply to Taiwan.
You have a question for Steve.
Steve, there are reports, and these are just rumors, but they do make their way into news reports, that it was the International Olympic Committee that prevailed on Taiwan to send their 4 athletes into the opening ceremonies. It would seem to me that really the IOC talks about no politicalization of the games, but this seems like this is very political. What do you think?
I agree completely. It's political. And of course, there are lots of politics in the games, including the decisions about where they will be held. So the question would be, is the International Olympic Committee acting on its own, or did it receive its tasking from its emperor, its host, to go ahead and bring the Chinese Taipei delegation into line to try to disaggregate it from the list of countries who are seeking to send signals of disapproval of China's political leadership while they are at the games? But we all know, whether it's the International Olympic Committee, the World Health Organization, or any number of international entities, they are not, in fact, free of politics or undue influence, from corruption to the unfair agendas of the host this time, Beijing.
Steve, what is the risk for the PRC, for Xi, right now at these Olympics? What are you watching for in the opening rounds and also in the empty stands?
Well, I think the most interesting thing to look for from my point of view is that these are going to be games like no other. There have been times when there have been a heightened security environment. And this time, whether it's from COVID or security or other reasons, the areas around the Olympics are completely shut down. Reporters will not be able to have free and easy access to Chinese people or even athletes in many cases. It'll be very, very difficult for the news coverage to do the usual puff pieces about the games, the culture, the country when they can't really go out and see it. But this time, we actually have COVID tests being applied by Chinese Communist Party controlled entities. And so I'll be looking for, are there any athletes that look like they're doing reasonably well and they mysteriously test positive and are out of medal contention? Are there any athletes that deign to break the public relations silence and actually say some things critical about China over the course of the Olympics? And while journalism might be dead in some ways, video or comments from these athletes or others might find a way of sneaking out and seeing how that reaction is taken.
Gordon, what are you watching for to whether the Olympics go wrong or not?
Actually, it's the same thing that Steve was. I think the most important thing is going to be the number of athletes disqualified because of testing positive for COVID. China is applying a stricter COVID test for athletes and others than the IOC wanted. And that's really surprising because the IOC should have stood firm on this because we're already having some important disqualifications and there's certainly going to be a lot more. So really this, I think, is going to be something where people after the games are going to say, look, the summer games were postponed a year from Tokyo 2020 to 2021. They should have postponed the Winter Olympics at least a year. And that doesn't even go into the questions, which, as Steve raised, that they should be held in China at all.
You have a question for Steve, Gordon.
Steve, what about people in Taiwan? What do they think about the Olympics in China?
Well, people of Taiwan in past Olympic cycles, I trust it would be similar for this one, they're going to be overwhelmingly focused on the human interest story of their athletes, their performance, do they medal? And so I expect that to be a lot of the focus, even though the people of Taiwan face in many ways an unprecedented abusive environment from the CCP at this Olympics. I still think that just the human interest on the part of the people of Taiwan is so overwhelming. They feel isolated and they feel such pride of any of their athletes getting into medal contention, especially if gold.
Final concern, Steve. There's been talk in Europe that the aggression towards Ukraine is a test of will there be a response when a large state picks on a small state. And the next example is Taiwan. Do you hear this talk in Taiwan that the limits of Western resistance are being tested in Ukraine and next up is Taiwan? We have about a minute.
Well, John, I do hear this talk from people in Taiwan, but I frankly run into it almost everywhere. And I think it's a very, very bad signal. Weakness elsewhere is definitely not good for the need for strength in other parts of the world. It's an imperfect analogy in some senses. And really, at this point, while I don't have great faith in the Biden administration sustaining deterrence or our alliance structure, the government of Japan has been clearer in ways that are unlike the past, where perhaps deterrence is supported by a formerly less willing ally through this turbulent period.
And therefore, the people of Taiwan are right to worry, Steve. I want to make certain I understand this. They're not being unduly frightened.
They're right to worry, but frankly, they're right to worry always. In this instance, I just think that the Ukraine example and the Taiwan example have some important differences where an outside capable ally is actually willing in the Taiwan East Asia context, where Europe seems to be pulling back from helping its fellow man and neighbor.
Steve Yates, former Deputy National Security Advisor to the Vice President Cheney and the Bush administration, CEO of DC International Advisory. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, with the cover story on Newsweek. If Xi Jinping's zero COVID Olympic coronation fails, his enemies in Beijing are ready. I'm John Bashley.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Bachelor. chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.